You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
It is so nice to see you. This is like such a nice. I was like looking forward to this all week. I was like, I just get to say hi. Really just get to say hi.
It's so good to see you too.
So thank you for doing this. This is cool.
Of course.
I don't know. How's everything been going? You good?
Yeah, everything's really good. Everything's awesome. I'm like actually taking all this time to just like recharge. And I was actually about to just dive into work mode because I did the Grammys and the Super Bowl. And then I was like, all right, it's time to release new music and shoot the singles or shoot the videos for the singles, do the album, do the tour. I'm so sorry. My dogs are going to bark, but I can't do anything.
You want to know what? I'm in the same boat. I put my dog next door at my best friend's house. I was like, look, I have something to do and he's just going to go nuts. So can you just watch him for like 30 minutes?
They like, go nuts. I even put, you see that big thing back there? I even put something in front of the glass doors because I don't have blinds yet. I put something in front of there so that they can't see, so they won't bark at people walking in the backyard.
I put like a gate in the kitchen so he can stay in here with me because I moved my workspace to the kitchen because I don't want to like sleep in the same place that I work all day.
Yes.
You know, so like I sit, they like it. Like dogs like being in like small area, like confined space, like makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah. Anyways, they're nuts. But yeah, I was going into work mode and then this all happened and it slowed me down. And now I'm just like, I just was like, okay, I have to adjust to it. So I did. And I'm really enjoying it.
Well, we are also in the same boat. We were like about to do Coachella. Like we were about to play Coachella. Ugh. And like, yeah, like crazy, crazy shit. Like we were about to just like, you know, and we were like constantly touring and then everything just got, you know, we're here. So it was like learning how to do the emo night stuff online and like learning how to adjust and like live and talk to each other just digitally every day.
Yeah.
It is like completely different, but we're making it through.
I'm happy. Yeah. I gotta say that I Love Me is really getting me through quarantine.
Oh, good. Like, that makes me so happy.
I feel like when the emo version came out, it was, I don't know, it hits totally different.
It does.
It's like so different and it's almost very incredibly appropriate for quarantine. Because it makes me like run around my apartment and like jump on stuff and like kick pillows everywhere.
Oh, good.
And it just has this like.
Yes.
But yeah, the first thing I wanted to ask you is what made you want to do that song in an emo version? Because you obviously performed Sorry Not Sorry at Emo Night Day in an emo sort of version. And that was so fucking cool to see, just to like bring new light to that song. So what made you want to do that for this one?
It wasn't my idea. Like, obviously, if I could have every song of mine made into an emo version, I would. But that requires the production skills of other people that I just don't want to take all their time making my music emo when it's pop. But my producer was like, hey, my producer and the people that work for him on his team were like, you should check out this version that we have. And they played it for me, but they didn't tell me who played the drums. So for like a month, I was listening to this version. And I sent it to all my friends and I was like, how sick is this? I love it so much, blah, blah, blah. My friends were like, oh my gosh, that's so dope. You should release it. One of my best friends, Matthew Scott, was like begging me
the best guy.
Yes. He was begging me the entire beginning of quarantine, like all of March and April, please, please, please release this song. And like the emo version. And I was like, it just takes a while to put together stuff and contracts and this and that. And so it took a little bit, but we got it worked out and we were able to release it. And I'm so glad because it is such a different version of the song. And I loved when we did it with Sorry Not Sorry at Emo Night Day. But, you know, this is different because it's obviously Travis fucking Barker and
iconic.
Yeah, you don't get like, more truly. Iconic than that. And
wait, so you didn't know he was playing drums on it before?
No, so my producer and their team sent it to me and I was like, oh my gosh, this is sick. I was listening to it for like a month and then, or maybe even 2 months. And then somebody said, well, what about the Travis Barker version? And I was like, what Travis Barker version? They're like, you haven't heard it? And I was like, no. So they sent it to me and it was the same one. And I was like, I know this version. I've been listening to it for 2 months and y'all didn't tell me it's Travis fucking Barker.
And that's just, dude, that was like was that the push that you needed to be like, all right, I'm going to put, yeah. I got to do this.
No, I wanted it out at the beginning of quarantine. And for some reason, like it just, I don't know, communication, it didn't work out. And then we were talking about remixes to kind of like, once you release a single, sometimes you release the remixes a couple weeks later, like just to bring life back into it, get people excited again. And so this was like, they were asking me about remixes and they were like, you know, the Travis Barker remix. And I was like, huh? And when they said that, I was like, yes, this is the version I've been telling y'all to put out. Please put it out. And then they got it. Yeah.
Well, you have had our entire company like destroying their kitchens and living rooms by jumping around.
Oh, awesome.
Like every day since it's come out. Like everybody is just like freaking over it.
Oh, thank you.
So you did that song. Was there like another song off of your album that you're like, if you could switch it into an emo version, like what would the next one be?
I don't even know because I'm still putting together the album, so I don't have the whole album yet. Like, I can't really say, oh, well, this one song called Da 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 would be great I'm not sure if it's going to make the album. It's still up in the air. It's like, the thing was, is we were so close to finishing it. And then when I did the Super Bowl and the Grammys, I was, you know, showcasing my vocals. And we kind of had a moment, Scooter and I, where he was like, you know what? I think we need to take a different route and a different approach with the album where we show your voice off more. Like we need to put more ballads in there rather than like, you know, your typical pop stuff that you normally go for. And I was like, absolutely. So we kind of went back to the drawing board on the album. And then quarantine hit. And so I've been like stuck. And I think hopefully soon I'll be able to get back to recording. But you know, it's like, I was so close to being done, but I don't want to put out this project until it's perfect anyways. So
yeah, I think that that's like the way to do it. You know, you want to make sure that everything is like up to your, that's what we never like do a show and we never do like whatever, like all of our visual stuff until it's like absolutely the way it should be. Cause then it feels like you have to go back and you did something wrong. Like in my opinion, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Or like I just listen to it later and I'm like, I wish I would have spent more time because that one word in that one song could have been sung better or something.
Or the way you said something, you're like, yes. Oh, I wish I could do that. Yeah.
Okay, how about one time I sang the word hypnotize when that's not even a fucking word. And because I rushed that album so quickly, I didn't even realize that there's no such thing as the word hypnotize. And so it's all my song called Catching.
Yeah, no one said anything?
Nobody said it. They just like let it slide.
They let it slide. So it is in my song called Catch Me. And shame on me for thinking hypnotize was a word at 16.
Do you want to know what's one of the cool, that is like actually one of the coolest things. Like remember, like, so like, I know we're going to talk about like when you did do Emo Night and we fucked up, like, and I fucked up. That was my fuck
no,
up.
No, I pressed the button.
No, I knocked the cord out. It was 100% fuck up.
Okay.
And there were like certain things like that was like actually one of the things I was going to ask you, like, is there like, cause that was such a fucking great, cool moment. That was,
it was
like not
the coolest fuck up in the history of fuck up. Cause I remember like whenever I have nightmares about the sound going out at emo night, like, those are the only nightmares I have, that the sound goes out and no one can like make it work again. And we're all just like, I guess we gotta go home. Like,
yes.
And so when the sound went out, I was like, shit, this is bad. And then immediately you jumped in and just like sang Misery Business so well.
Well, I'm so grateful that it was a song that I knew all the words to, because I was like, had that happened on a different emo song that like, we all know the chorus, but not the lyrics.
No,
the
but
words.
What if it was like Under Oath or something?
And yeah. You just scream.
And you had to like scream it out.
I would have tried. I would have given it my all.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is there like, cause we've had so many of those, like, dude, one time, oh my God. I mean, we've had some bad fuck ups. Like Babs and I were in Denver one time and then the DJ booth just went down.
Like, but we were literally doing a festival. Like, it wasn't even a small show. It was like a bunch of people, and the table was like the first table ever made. It was so old and shaky, and we pushed a button. We didn't even like get on top of the table, and it just collapsed. And like the sound never came back. We just DJ'd off my Android.
Oh no!
That was like one of the there are fuck ups that have happened that were like. That was really bad, you know, like a very traumatizing thing. And then there was like the fuck ups that happened where like with you, which made it honestly like one of the, I think in probably all of our opinions, like Babs and I and TJ and Ricky, like the, one of the best moments that has happened since Emo Night.
Oh, thanks. That's so awesome. That was really, really fun.
Have you had any like fuck ups at your shows that stand out?
I mean, I've had some like, on stage bloopers, as you would say. There was one time that was like, that I just remembered the other day for some reason. I was actually working out outside and I inhaled a bug, and it reminded me of one time I was on stage and I was singing a very emotional song and I inhaled a fucking bug. And I was like, I started joking like at the mic while playing piano and singing. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I just swallowed a bug. It was a funny moment and it made for like a good memory. I've also had hair extensions like fall out on stage. Like I one time had them glued in, and I guess the sweat and the glue mixed together and made it like slip out. So I had like one chunk of hair that was longer than the rest of me, and this one fan was like, looked, and I was like, oh my God, I just like threw it off stage. But
I think
this like growing hair.
Like, I mean, just the way that you handled the Emo Night thing, and I'm sure that the way that you swallow bugs, and I'm sure that the way that your hair falls out, like you handle it with like, at this point, you've got such a good attitude about shit that it's not something that like, completely like ruins your night or your day.
I almost look at it too now as like their opportunities, like Bob Ross says, happy accidents, you know? It's like literally there's these little things that happen, and this could apply to life too, like the little things that happen during shows that could be like catastrophic, but you turn them into a memory and an experience that you'll never forget, and it could actually be something really cool.
I also think it makes fans realize that you're not perfect, you know, like things like that make the audience realize that nothing's perfect for anyone,
or that lip sync because we choke on a pod.
track doesn't stop.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, because you've dabbled a lot in emo and pop punk in the past. Like, you've had a song with Fall Out Boy, you've had a song with We the Kings. Mm-hmm. As you said, you've DJed Emo Night. But I want to know, like, where, like, when you were first introduced to emo music. Like, what was the first band you heard, or, you know, how old were you? Kind of, what's your past with this genre?
So, my past with this genre, I mean, I guess the first, like, emo music that I ever listened to would have to, and I don't really know how emo this is, but like, it was like Simple Plan. In the sixth grade, I went to their concert and they were playing with MXPX and Sum 41, maybe.
That's amazing.
Or I actually couldn't tell you who all played that show, but it was a good show and I had so much fun. And that was when I first started wearing like black, and like, I tried to ask my mom if I could paint my nails black. She said no. So I painted my toes black for the longest time. And then finally I rebelled and I painted my nails black. And then it just like escalated. I went from like simple, within like 2 years, I went from Simple Plan to like then Panic at the Disco and the Academias and Acceptance to then like Scary Kids, Scaring Kids and From First to Last and who else? Like more
that
of
was
the
like
screamo
totally
stuff.
Around that time. The Scary yes. Kids and like From First to Last, I remember that time like those yes. are like it's such a very
and
specific
like Senses
time.
Fail and Chiodos and then like it kind of like started escalating. Like I started dating this guy who was really into metal music, and so then I started like he started teaching me about the different types of metal, like black metal versus death metal versus hardcore
I've been
music.
I've been that boyfriend before.
Yeah, yeah. I've been that girlfriend.
I've sat down and I've been like, this is grindcore.
Yes.
This is metalcore. this is death metal.
Yes.
This is
black
metal. I've been that guy.
Yes.
Like, where like I make someone sit down and listen and like, fortunately you probably were like, this is awesome. This is great. I had this. I don't know. What? Why are you doing
that? I was like, oh, cool. So Abigail Williams versus Job for a Cowboy. I get it.
it's really, yeah. The words job for a cowboy coming out of your mouth is one of like maybe the coolest things that I've heard in quarantine.
I actually went from listening to like the Academias to all of a sudden listening to that show of me at a Simple Plan concert 3 years later. I was at an Unearthed Demi Borgir and one other band, but I don't remember who it was. And I was like in the middle of the crowd, in the middle of the mosh, actually. Mm-hmm. I was only 14 and I was a tiny little thing. And I was in the middle of the mosh. There's these grown ass men headbanging and I was living. But then I got claustrophobic and a little scared. So I like I crowd surfed to the front. And
yeah,
then
you just sometimes you just got to get out of there.
I miss those days. Like moshing and crowd surfing and all that was all I looked forward to.
Oh my God, I loved it. I loved moshing because you could just like get your aggression out and nobody cares. You're just
the fucking cool thing is like it is like super aggressive, but when somebody falls and like something bad, like people take care of each other and they pick each other up.
Yes.
It was like it's you don't get that in a lot of shows like that.
When I got claustrophobic, it went from like moshing and pushing people and punching and all this shit to like, hey, help me out. I need help. And everyone just like lifted me up and pushed me towards the front. You know, it's like, oh, they can't handle it. Okay. And it's like, you know, it's really cool. And I remember the first time I ever had people mosh at one of my shows was at Bamboozle. And
to
it
what
was
song?
Like, I don't even remember. I think it was Don't Forget. It was like whenever it like goes to the electric guitar part, the breakdown at the last chorus, and people just started moshing. I think it's because like it was Bamboozle. It was like this emo punk pop festival and people just really wanted to rage, and I was all that they had in that moment. So they heard electric guitar and they were like, oh, it's time.
The wildest pit that we have done, Babs, like tell her about our silent. We did
this
the first
was the
Demi,
best
we,
like thing of all time. Firefly Festival last year. Seems like 10 years ago now. And our agent was like, do you guys also want to do some silent discos like during the weekend? And I was like, yes. And immediately I was like, I want to do a silent mosh pit. I don't think that's ever been done.
Our set was in the middle of
like these woods, essentially. All there were just trees around and everyone was wearing headphones. And we put on A Day to Remember, Downhill of Us All. And I was like, all right, everyone, just lose your shit. And there was a silent, crazy mosh pit.
And I took my, I took my headphones off and it's
silent
and everybody's just going nuts. And it's like one of the wildest things that like,
oh,
you know, you
so
never
cool.
think that you're going to see. So wild. Like in the middle of the woods, it's silent and everybody's just doing it. Like I had to like do that a couple of times to like make sure that like,
yes.
I was like, is this really happening?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Can we do that again? Can I host it?
Do whatever you want.
Because I need to. I need a good, I haven't had a good mosh pit in a long time.
Yeah. It'd be the most fun.
I don't know if Max security will let me.
You know what? I don't think that there's one thing he can't handle. Like, I feel like he could handle an entire mosh pit.
That's totally true. With ease.
And
you know what he does with me is he comes to me and I'll be like, Max, I really want to parachute off of the Empire State Building. Mm. And he'll be like, all right, well, and this is like a terrible accent, so don't judge me for this. But he's like, well, you know, I'll never tell you you can't do anything, but here's the precautions, and let me get it inspected, and I'll have a look.
Yeah, okay, he's tops. Like the most, like, dude, that guy would literally study mosh pits and figure out how to navigate and strategize
a
mosh pit.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you, it's kind of along the lines of, you know, going to shows when you were 14 and kind of getting into all this. How do you think that sort of impacted who you are now? Like, how do you think that, because, you know, in middle school and high school, it was not cool to be emo. Everybody was like, oh, you're so emotional and what's wrong with you? But now emo is so widely accepted and it's now leaked into a bunch of different genres like hip hop and pop. And I think
there was back in the day, it was the same crowd of misfits that you like heard about in the Breakfast Club, you know, like it was around in the 80s and 90s too, in different forms. It's just, we are in our generation, the group of misfits, we all found peace and acceptance in emo music because they were singing the same things that we felt. They were saying what we wanted to say. And, you know, I could wear all black and wear a ton of eyeliner and express myself in that way and not, like, and I felt accepted by my friends and stuff. And I thought emo was cool. You know, like I didn't. Hey, dog mom. Sorry. I thought emo was cool, and like I never looked at it as like, oh, I'm embarrassed or anything like that to wear all black. I did like sort of cringe when anyone would ever call me that because I'd be like, it's like the same when like a hipster is called a hipster. They don't want to be called a hipster, but they are. It's just, it is what it is, and so like. Yes, being called emo wasn't cool, but like to me, the aesthetics of the clothes, the beauty, the like hairstyles, the music, everything, like I felt like I fit in and I felt accepted because this was me also growing up in Dallas, Texas, as a bisexual, artistic, like creative mind, I never felt like I fit in the South, you know?
And I think emo, like that genre really was like one of the first genres that was like accepting to whatever you wanted to be.
For sure.
You could be that.
And I also remember back in the day, like on a lot of like the MySpace or Zanga, like blogs or whatever, I would see like GIFs before they were even called GIFs of like boys kissing boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that back in the day. That was my first like, you know, kind of experience of seeing guys kiss guys. And so the emo world to me from the get-go is accepting. And I was like, oh, I feel accepted. And I feel like, you know, being young and not really fully understanding my sexuality at 12, 13, 14, I was just like, you know, I don't know what I am yet, but I do feel comfortable here. And I think that's what it is for a lot of people.
I mean, that's like one of the things that we really, really do pride ourselves on as like a company and as like an event where it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if this is the first time you're ever hearing Taking Back Sunday,
yeah,
we want you there. We want you there.
Yeah.
You know, we want everybody there. And I think that there's, you know, it's actually really, really cool now because I think a lot of genres are becoming way more accepting. But emo, I think, was one of the first fully accepting genres.
Totally. I didn't hear of guys being bisexual in any other genre of music than emo music. And not saying that all emo guys are bisexual, but I'm just saying like that was highlighted at times where I thought, oh, in this genre of music, it's accepted. But yet I was still sometimes listening to hip hop where it wasn't accepted in the hip hop community.
Right.
And it's totally different, obviously, but like, it's just interesting. Now it's becoming more accepted. And
which is awesome.
Yeah, which is amazing. And that's what I wish for the entire world. You know, like I want all types of music to feel accepting and safe for people. But I think for teenagers who were going through pressures of academics or just trying to find their place in the world, we found peace in emo music because they talked about their feelings where a lot of music on the radio didn't.
Well, I think that that was like one of the really, you know, in interviews that we do, sometimes people are like, you had Demi there. And we were like, yeah, she is this. Like, this is what she stands for. This is what she grew up listening to. Like,
yeah.
Because she makes pop music doesn't make her only pop. Like,
yeah.
And that's like the really, really special. That's why, you know, we love you and we mm-hmm. value you. And we know that you understand like that you are that, like you came from that. And you, just because you do pop doesn't mean that you didn't do things and like things before that.
Yeah. And there's other artists too that are like me that now have transitioned into other genres of music. I know Post Malone, like, he is a fan of emo music and emo night. I was there the same night.
He tried out for the cool, like, I don't know if this is a real story or not. Like, mm-hmm. I know, like, somebody told me it probably, like, as, like, a game of telephone. But somebody was like, he tried out for, like, Crown the Empire or something. And then, like, during his tryouts, he, like, broke a string and didn't make it into the band. And then after that, he was like, okay, now I'm doing this.
He's like,
thing.
I'll just be Post Malone then and take over the world. It's fine.
Wow.
Which is
that's
like,
so
what?
Cool.
Yeah. Which is like, then, you know, you guys were there in the same night. And like, what a cool thing for people to see that two artists that do different genres came together over the love of like one type of music and one type of like this thing. This
well, yeah.
Thing
and also
that
when
is made.
When you did Emo Night Day, like the Chainsmokers were there too.
Yeah.
Because I remember like when they did Emo Night before Emo Night Day, people were like, what? Like they are EDM guys.
Yeah.
And
but
then,
this genre of music was the basis of our musical foundation and so many artists' careers, especially in this generation, because emo music was so popular when we were at that prime demographic age. You know, it's like we all, like so many of us grew up listening to that whether or not we ended up doing that type of music later, we all just kind of, we learned how to write music because of emo songs. We learned how to appreciate lyrics because of Brand New
and like
Confessional, dude, you know?
And look, some of those choruses are like so fucking pop and they
totally
hit so fucking hard, but they just got pushed into that genre because like the things that they're like lyrical content or whatever, their imagery, but like dude, some of those choruses, those are pop choruses.
Yeah, totally. And that's why I was so excited whenever I started seeing emo music pop up in the mainstream world, although I was a little music snobbish back then. Like I was like excited when Fall Out Boy was on MTV, but then I was like, no. Like,
but you wanted it.
Yeah.
You wanted it. You
yes.
like wanted to keep it sacred. Like that's yeah, I know that feeling. I
yes.
want like you want that just for yourself. But
yes.
you're like excited that everybody else likes it. But you're like, this is mine. This is a mine thing. And I think
yes.
that this genre is like one of the only genres that does that.
Uh-huh.
Where it's just like, this is my thing.
Yes. You feel like you're territorial over the music that you've listened to, even though it's made for everybody. You feel territorial over it because of your experiences with it. And I like remember specifically when Paramore started blowing up, I was like, no, like that's my diary. Like the world, I can't share my diary with the world. What? And, but I mean, ultimately I was so ecstatic that more people were appreciating my music that I was listening to because, you know, I was tired of getting in the car and having my burned CDs from iTunes that I'd write on with Sharpies. I was tired of like, you know, only listening to it in my little Walkman CD player because my mom didn't want to hear my emo music in the car. And then all of a sudden it's being accepted into the mainstream music and now it's on the radio. And I was like, see, Mom, like I told you it was good.
Told you I was cool, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
What was your MySpace song?
I had so many.
Like what's like a couple that you can remember?
The Academy is Brand New. Those were like two of my favorite bands. Also, Say Anything, Wow, I Can Get Sexual Too is definitely one of them. I think, and then I had like, I think Hello Goodbye's Dear Jamie was one.
I mean, all solid MySpace songs.
Like, yes, totally.
I had Build Me Up Buttercup as like my MySpace song. I tried to like be cooler and different.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I was like, but I mean, that's the stuff that like, since we do emo night and like our lives revolve around this stuff, like that is like, that type of music is like what I listen to like day to day work out, like work in and out. Like that's like my, that's my shit.
Yeah.
So I tried to like, that's what I tried to do. I tried to be cooler.
I was watching the video for the emo version of I Love Me and it's like all MySpace themed and it made me just so nostalgic about when we just had MySpace and that was the only social media platform.
Yeah.
It wasn't even called that at the time because no one knew, you know, that there would be other platforms.
Yes.
It was just such a simple time. You updated your top eight. You put up a song, but we all like thought we were coders too. We're like, you know, changing the themes.
Low key, we were coders. I knew how to change my layout.
Oh, and same. Like,
I couldn't do that today to save my life.
No, same.
Oh, I don't remember any of that period. Like, that's like one of those
things. That was a girly like a very, MySpace thing.
That was a very dark period for me where like, I don't remember a lot of that.
Those were the days. Those were the days. You like literally coded every part of it, like how the photos would look and
or your font. Like
the font, everything.
Like the you know, the parentheses that are like angular, what are those called?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
They're on the keyboard. I'm looking at it. But
Yeah.
And then like that with like the dash and then it would be B for bold or something.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I if hope you no could, coders are watching this.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get ripped apart.
Yeah.
If you could get like, here's, I have one, like, I was like, I'm just going to, we're like, look, we're just going to talk to Debbie, but we're like, I should have a question. If you could do it like again, if you could do everything again and you could join one band, like going back and like be joining a band, what band would you have joined?
I think that wouldn't join a band. I think I would start my own.
You just do your own thing?
Yeah, I would do my own thing. And you know what? Like, I've thought about this. I think I would want to go back and do more of like what Poppy is doing, like, or was doing, or no, still is, because her music is dope. But the artist Poppy,
yeah,
she like mixes this like rock sound and has pop at the same time. And it's really interesting. And I just like discovered her personally like a few months ago and was like, who is this girl? Oh my gosh. This is what I would do if I could go back and redo my career. The light is changing. I'm so sorry. But yeah, like I was like, this is what I would do because it incorporated that rock side and that like metal kind of feel. But
do you remember Girl Talk?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God. Babs, do you remember Girl Talk?
I know the name, but I never heard.
Yeah, it was like around that same time, but they were like one of the first like mashups that used like emo songs in like rap, and they like, and techno, and they like mashed all of that together. And that was like, when I first heard that, that was like the first time I was like, you know, it was like a genre bending thing for me.
Yes.
Like go back and listen to Girl Talk. It's so fucking
so
sick.
So good. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
We know you have a lot going on, so we just want to say thank you so much for jumping on with us.
It was
really nice to get to chat with you. I know I always see you at Emo Night, but it's always like, hey, bye. Like,
yeah. So
it's been nice.
I'm always like so sweaty, and I always feel so bad about hugging you.
We're so disgusting. We're just like monster people there.
I mean, I'm equally as sweaty in there, so it's fine.
Dude, we love you so much. Yeah. We really do.
Guys,
and
love
like.
You.
We're so proud of you for all, like, everything that you're doing and everything that you've done. And just thank you so much for, like, being a part of our community and being our friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for accepting me and letting me share this love of music with you guys.
Always. You want, let's do a, next time when we're allowed to do live shows again, let's do some mosh pitting.
We're going to do a silent mosh pit.
Let's do a silent mosh pit.
We're going to do a silent mosh pit, and then also I'll perform my song.
Done.
Anything done.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. It's so good to see you. You look beautiful. Tell Max I said hello and I love him.
I will. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!